study of the Gospel according to John, we're going to look at a rather interesting incident that's found recorded in chapter 4. The Gospel according to John, chapter 4, just before we read from the Scriptures, let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we acknowledge Thee again. As we come to Thee now in prayer, we do ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that Thou shalt illumine the page of Holy Writ. Cause us to take in and understand the teaching of this wonderful chapter, and grant that Thy truth may reach some poor, struggling, heartbroken sinner today. May it be that they'll be led to trust the Saviour, and will give Thee all the glory. In His precious name, Amen. Now, in coming to chapter 4, the Gospel according to John, it seems to be a display of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Samaria was despised by the religious Jews, and the Samaritans as a people were usually avoided. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But in this chapter, Samaria becomes the scene of spiritual blessing, with many Samaritans professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read first of all the first 6 verses of the chapter, John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. Now let us pause there for a moment or two, and try to catch the background then to the lesson of chapter 4. The Lord Jesus Christ had come down from Galilee in the north, where he had performed a mighty miracle, as recorded in chapter 2. There it was at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. But by the time you come to the end of chapter 2, he is down in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. Then in chapter 3, he is having that great time with the man called Nicodemus, that interview that took place in the evening. But now, when you come to chapter 4, something has happened. The Pharisees are beginning to talk about him. They're beginning to criticize him. And so, rather than allow a tumult to arise, he decides to leave Judea in the south and return again to Galilee in the north. So verse 3 says, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And that leads us to the arresting statement in verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Here I suggest to you, there was a route that was planned. He didn't just simply take any road. Perhaps he could have gone down again, crossed over the River Jordan, and he could have come up the east bank and come into the north. That was a way that many of the Jews took when traveling from Judea to Galilee. Rather than go through the territory that was occupied by the Samaritans, because they didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans, so many of them crossed over and went up on the eastern shore of the River Jordan. However, at this time, the Lord Jesus Christ was taking what we might call the direct road, the route that was planned. He must needs go through Samaria. This seems to indicate a divine necessity. Now, if there is a divine necessity, we ought to investigate what it is. Here, then, is a divine purpose. But we should acquaint ourselves with this great fact, that when the Lord Jesus Christ left the glory above, left heaven, came down to this earth and was born at Bethlehem. There was a need for it all. There was a divine purpose in Christ coming from the glory and coming down to this earth. Long before earth's foundation was laid, before ever Adam's clay was fashioned, God was setting the whole plan. The Word of God tells us that He is working all things after the counsel of His own will. And what was true regarding these great eternal purposes can be seen also in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never made a move. He never performed a miracle. He never spoke a word unless it was in accordance with the divine purpose, the will of His Father. "I am come to do thy will," said the Lord Jesus. At the end He could say, "Thy will be done." And the Father could say concerning His Son, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So every step of His journey was in accordance with the will of the Father. There was a divine purpose in everything that the Lord Jesus Christ had to do. Wherever He went, whatever He said, was in agreement with the divine will. So here we learn, first of all, that it reveals a divine purpose. He must needs go through Samaria. And in so doing, He was reaching a despised people, the Samaritans. In God's plan, the Word of life and the author of salvation must overflow the banks of national pride and racial prejudice. This is sometimes a hard thing for people to learn. I'm sure there are those who would have loved to have kept the great offer of salvation within the boundary lines of their own nation. But then we must remember this, that when the time came for the Lord Jesus Christ to send out His disciples, with the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, He indicated to them that they were to be His witnesses, not only in Jerusalem and in Judea, but they were to go on to Samaria, and from there to the uttermost parts of the earth. It was God's purpose, it was God's plan, that all people should hear the gospel, reaching out to a despised people, the Samaritans. But we should be thankful for this, because after all, I suppose, most of the people listening to my voice now, if not all of you, and most of you, will come under this category. We've got to acknowledge, haven't we, that we were only Gentiles. We were strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. We had no claim upon the covenants of the law whatsoever. We were despised, rejected. We were outsiders, alienated from God by wicked works. And yet God, through the message of the gospel, has come out to reach us, we who were despised by the Jews. And so the plan was laid. And Christ must walk the road that was according to the divine plan, revealing a divine purpose and reaching a despised people. Oh, how true, when we come to the great message of the gospel, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how He was buried and how He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. This great message is a message for whosoever will. We learn that in John chapter 3, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We saw in chapter 3 that a man who had a great religious difficulty, a ruler amongst the Jews, had to come by that simple way and receive Jesus Christ. Now here in chapter 4, we're going to face a woman who had great moral difficulties. And yet she's going to be reached with a message of life, and she also is going to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me read to you verses 7 through 10. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, in these verses, we are faced with a request that was puzzling. First of all, there is the approach of grace. A man who was a Jew, talking to a woman who was a Samaritan, and he says to her, Give me. Now, when the challenge of God comes to the sinner, it is often misunderstood. Like the woman at the well, it is often treated with bitter resentment. You see, when he asked for a drink, when he said, Give me to drink, she treated this approach of the Lord Jesus with resentment. She treated it with bitter resentment. She says, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. This was something she could not understand. Now get this very clear. This woman must have been accustomed going out to the well to draw water every day. It was a daily chore. But the Lord Jesus Christ cut right across the bows that day. He cut across her path in life. In plain words, he was going to reach her heart. And he had to do it by a common point of contact. You know, sometimes we don't like when our normal routine is interfered with. People don't like when other people cut into their way of life. They resent it. One man, when he was approached about the things of God, he said, That's none of your business. Now, that's when he made the mistake. It is the business of all gospel preachers to present the gospel message to men and women. It's God's business to challenge men and women. And if you don't like the person that brings the challenge to you, that's just too bad. The Lord Jesus very graciously approached this woman. There was nothing about his approach she should have resented, but she did. He simply said, Give me to drink. A simple request. But you see, it was cutting right across the bowels of her life. It was cutting in at a time when she didn't want it. And sometimes we resent God when he cuts in to our way of life. We don't like it. But my friend, if you were to talk to men and women who are genuinely saved, men and women who have come to know Jesus Christ the Savior, get to know their story, and you'll find that sometime in their life, God cut in. God broke in some special way. I could go on for a long time, telling you instances of where men and women were brought face to face with the eternal challenge, how God broke into their lives. May I ask you, has he ever crossed your bows? Has God ever stopped you in your mad career and questioned you? Now, not only was there the approach of grace, there was the appeal of grace. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Here was the appeal of grace. If thou knewest the gift of God. See, God in his grace bears with our ignorance. And God in his grace continues to plead with us. It may be that someone's listening to me today, and you have a great knowledge of certain things. You may be very wise concerning the sciences at the present time. You may be well instructed in your particular line of business or profession. But with all that, my friend, I want to ask you very plainly now, do you know anything about the gift of God? Do you know anything about the way of salvation? Do you know anything about Jesus Christ being your Savior? If not, my friend, you are still ignorant of the greatest thing in this life. Oh, if thou knewest the gift of God, he said, and who it is that is speaking to you, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Here is the appeal of grace. He's standing at the well. He's got something to offer to that woman. She doesn't even know what it is. It may be that someone is listening to me today, and you have resented your friends. You have resented Christians who have tried to approach you with regards to your need of salvation. You have resented perhaps your own parents trying to tell you that you need to be saved. Yet they continue. My friend, listen. Don't carry on in ignorance. Stop and think for a moment. They're not trying to take anything from you. God isn't going to take anything from you. God wants to give you something. He wants to give you the greatest gift of all time. If thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now from there he has led this woman on, and now she's got the desire to have this living water. Verse 11 says, the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, first of all, this woman started to argue along the line of human reason. First of all, she said, this well is deep, you haven't got anything to draw with. She was still thinking in terms of the water from the well. But now the Lord shows her that he's not talking of water from the well, but that water from the well could only quench the thirst of the body. He's going to show to her that she has another thirst. It's the thirst of the soul, and for that she needs the water of life, the water that he can give, that which will be springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now she has come a little further, but he's going to show her there's something else that must be brought to light. He revealed her shameful life. Her past and present were known to him, but he offered her something better and more satisfying for the future, if only she would acknowledge her need and ask him. When she said, give me this water, Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. Now I want you to notice this. He revealed her shameful life. The question of her sin must be brought to light. Oh, this is something people don't like. In fact, they don't like preachers who talk about sin, for the simple reason it gets home to them and strikes the conscience. But my friend, you've got to face the question of sin. In John chapter 1, John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. If you never see yourself as a sinner, you'll never realize your need of a Savior. It's only when a man's sick that he needs a physician. It's only when a man's hungry that he needs to eat. Only when he's thirsty does he need to drink. Only when he sees himself as a sinner will he call on the Savior for salvation. And so the Lord shows up or reveals to her her shameful life. And the moment he does that, she begins to argue about religion. She says, I perceive that thou art a prophet. But remember, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She wanted to have an argument now about the differences in the religions. She said, you're a Jew. You have one kind of religion, but I'm a Samaritan, and this is the place where my fathers worship. She's going to talk about religion. You know, I discover that a lot of people want to talk about the sincerity of their religion. When convicted of her sin, she tried to argue about her sincerity in things religious. But he pointed out that she didn't even know what or who she worshipped. He said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for he said, Salvation is of the Jews. Here was a woman who had a religion, but she had no scripture to back up her religion. She had a spurious religion, which could not come up to the standards of the Word of God. A lot of people today have got religion, but it's a false religion. They've got religion, but they haven't got reality. They've got religion, but they haven't got salvation. May I ask you, my friend, do you have the salvation that comes from trusting Jesus Christ? But I notice this in verse 26. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Who? Well, she had said, when Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. Now when he is come, he'll tell us all things, said the Lord Jesus, I'm he. Oh, here was a revelation that was persuasive. There was a progressive attraction to the Savior by this Samaritan woman. First of all, we'll notice how progressive it is, her attraction to the Savior. She looked upon him, first of all, when she came to the well, and she looked upon him with suspicion. She saw him simply as a Jew. And she said, a Jew, you cannot have any dealings with the Samaritans. And then she was impressed a little with his manner, and she addressed him as a gentleman. She said, sir. And then later on, as she listened to his message, she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So she saw him no longer simply as a Jew, nor even as a gentleman, but she went a little further and says, you're a prophet. But now she was fully persuaded and declared that she considered him to be the Christ, because she left her water pot. She ran into the city, and she said to the men there, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Oh, here was a woman who was drawn to the Lord Jesus, step by step, line upon line, until she came to this point where as she looked upon him, she saw that he was the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. Now I want you to notice this, a result that was pleasing. Notice the confession of this woman. Her confession was both fearless and frank, as she told just what she knew. After all, that's what a witness is. A witness just tells what he or she knows. And this woman started off by giving an invitation. She said to the people of the village, come, see a man. Oh, she wasn't a preacher, you know, she couldn't say very much, but she gave them an invitation. She says, come, see a man. In plain words, come and see him for yourself. Then she gave them a little bit of information about the man. She said, a man who told me all things ever I did. Now, any man that could tell all the things that she had done must be more than an ordinary man. But may I remind you, my friend, when we invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can give you this information about the man. He knows all about us, yet he loves us just the same. There's nothing hidden from him. And then she finishes up with an interrogation. She said, now, is not this the Christ? This woman's conversion and confession commenced a chain of circumstances which brought about a real spiritual movement in that Samaritan city. And so, the journey through that part of the country was not in vain. By the way, as we close, it's interesting to note the different Samaritans who are mentioned in the Gospels. You've heard of the Good Samaritan. That's the man who looked after the poor fellow who was lying by the wayside. He's called the Good Samaritan. Then we read of a Samaritan who was cleansed from his leprosy, who returned and gave God the glory. Now here's the Samaritan woman who found the Savior and bore a good testimony in her own village. What about you, my friend?